Thank you, Christian. And I want to say thank you for the opportunity to speak this morning. G3 will be launching in approximately 2 months, and we're very excited about that. We're excited to be able to work with other churches in our community to help reach people who need to know Jesus. Now, and over the last couple weeks, we've been talking about being guerrilla lovers. That the reason God puts us on this earth and our purpose for being in relationship with Him isn't selfish. It's not all about me making the best life I can for me, but instead it's about serving. God has put me on this earth and He's pouring out His love into me so I can let it flow out of me and into somebody else. I'm supposed to be making the lives of other people better. And that might mean simply giving them a cup of cold water on a hot day. It might mean listening to their problems and caring, or being the person in my neighborhood who creates a sense of community, or being the only person in the world who acknowledges the garbage man, or praying for my coworkers behind their backs, or becoming the regular babysitter for a single mom, or even doing grocery shopping for one of my elderly neighbors. It's about bringing God, the love of God, the kingdom of God, everywhere we go, to all the people we encounter, to all the situations we face. So here's the problem with living life as a guerrilla lover. It's not about me. It means that I live my life for God and for others, but just about everything in me wants to live for me. And isn't that true for most of us? We want to do what we want to do. There's something inside of me that drives me to care about me. Call it a sense of survival. I want what's best for me, not necessarily for you. Do you know what I mean when I say the word will? My will. It's that mix of my personality and my passions and my experiences and my past and my hurts and scars and dreams and goals that all combine to make my will. To create the thing inside of me that drives me, that leads me to do the things I do. That's my problem with living life as a guerrilla lover. It's not about me. And my will is all about me. Did you know that right now there are about 7 billion wills on the planet? There are sites on the internet that will update the number of people living on the planet by each second. And right now there are about 7 billion wills on the earth. I have one. Every one of you has one. And everybody else on the earth has a will. What each of us thinks is right and best, the thing that drives us, that creates our own personal agenda. There are about 7 billion wills on earth, but check this. There's only one will in heaven. You ever thought about that? There are about 7 billion wills on the earth, but only one will in heaven. God is in heaven. He has a will, too. Did you know that? That God has a will? He does. He has what He thinks is right and best. He has what drives Him. He has that thing that creates His agenda. And here's what we can learn about that life. His will is better than my will. His will is always better than my will. And maybe you've figured that out in life. Maybe you're not quite there yet. The agenda you've been following for you, has it led you to the life you want? I haven't yet met a person who could honestly say, my plans have always worked out right. And I'm kind of doubtful that that person is in this room today. But because I don't think there are any of us who could say, my plans have always been perfect. You know, it's always been right. I've never regretted any decisions. I've never hurt anybody else. My will is perfect. Our wills are all messed up. We only have our perspectives, and those perspectives are very limited. Our brains only weigh a couple of pounds, and we use less than 25% of our brain power. We've been taught some things that aren't totally accurate. We've been hurt, so we have defense mechanisms that play into how we think. Our wills are all messed up. And this is why I think one of the best decisions we can make in life is to exchange our will for God's will. The Bible calls God's will in Romans 12:2 good, pleasing, and perfect. My will is not always good, it's not always pleasing, and it's really pretty far from perfect. But God's will is always good, always pleasing, and always perfect. And one of the best decisions you could make today is to exchange your will for God's will. To say, from this day on, I am not going to set the agenda for my life. I'm going to trust what God has set for my life. I'm not going to set my own path and follow my own path. I'm going to let God set the agenda for me. I will trust Him. I will seek His path and follow it. It's the best decision you can make. And it's also what will allow you to become a gorilla lover. And I'm pretty sure probably Matt and Michael have gone over this, but when we say gorilla lover, that's not talking about the big hairy thing that lives in the jungles of Africa. It's talking about the kind of gorilla that wages war. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but in the American Revolution, the American forces were guerrillas. They didn't march in a straight line like the British forces did. They didn't call out fire every time somebody was going to fire. Guerrillas are ambushers. Guerrillas are people who kind of sneak up on you and get you there. So we want to be gorilla lovers. We want to be those people who, when other people are thinking, nobody loves me, nobody cares about me, we're the ones who kind of sneak up and let that love become a part of their lives. But when we're being gorilla lovers, it's not about me. It's not about me. My will says, I'm for me. And so when being a gorilla lover means having to clean a toilet, well, I'm going to be a gorilla lover because I'm not going to be a gorilla lover because me doesn't really like to clean toilets. My will isn't into that. But if I've exchanged my will for God's will, God may want me cleaning toilets. His will for me might be that. And so because I've exchanged my will for His will, I'm going to do it. And what I'll discover is that His will is good, pleasing, and perfect. And as I follow His will and live life as a gorilla lover, it will lead me to a life that is good, pleasing, and perfect. And all of that is why we need to learn to pray the gorilla's prayer. Now, if you have a Bible and you want to turn, you'd find this in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus is teaching a group of people, and in the middle of it, He begins to teach about prayer. And here's what Jesus said. You'll find it in Matthew 6, verses 5 through 13. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This then, here's where we need to really listen, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So, it's interesting. If you go to a Christian bookstore, you could find any number of books about prayer. How to pray. What to pray. When to pray. And a lot of those books are going to be pretty big. And yet Jesus here, in a couple of paragraphs, tells us how to pray. The gorilla's prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, over the last several weeks, we've already talked about the idea of kingdom. And that's a little unfamiliar to us Americans because we don't have a king. But a kingdom is that area, that place over which a king reigns. God is the one true king, but not everybody has chosen to let him reign in their lives. Because we've experienced, those of us who know him, because we've experienced how great life is when we put God in charge, you know, it's almost like getting to experience some of heaven while we're here on earth. We want other people to experience that. And so our goal is to expose others to the kingdom of God, and that they would choose for God to become their king. And that part of what Jesus says here, when you guys pray, pray that God's kingdom comes into people's lives and they'll get to experience heaven here on earth. And you need to be a part of making that happen. You need to bring His kingdom with you. Expose others to it. We've been saying that usually the most effective way to do that is by ambushing people with His love. Letting people get a taste of His love. But the problem, again, is that means I can't live my life for me. I have to live it for others. And my will gets in the way of that. And that's why in the middle of Jesus' prayer, He says, your will be done. Because if my will is being done, it's very likely that I'm not going to be a gorilla lover. I'm not going to be bringing His kingdom. I'm not going to be experiencing heaven here on earth. And so I need to do His will, not mine. I need to exchange His will for mine. But I'm incapable of doing that on my own. I don't have the power to do that all by myself. And so I have to pray for that. I have to ask God to do that in me, to give me the strength and wisdom to do His will rather than mine. Let me tell you something. This isn't a prayer that you just pray one time. It's not a prayer that you pray someday and then say, okay, I've prayed that prayer. It's on to other things. There may be some prayers that you just pray once and then you're done with it. But this isn't one of those prayers. Because every day I've got to deal with my selfish will. Every day. With every decision I make, with every fork in the road, I choose which way to go. In every opportunity I have to serve somebody else, my will is going to say, that's not about me. I have a better way to do it. And I'll do what my will wants, unless I'm praying for God to help me follow His will. Now, we've looked at one of the parables each week in this series, and we're going to look at another one today. It's in Luke 18. And if you want to turn to that, that's where you'll find it, Luke 18. A parable is a story that would be very common about common things, but there's a spiritual point to be made in it. And so Jesus, in Luke 18, beginning with verse 1, says this. Jesus told His disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Here's what He said. In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to Him with the plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." For some time, He refused. But finally, He said to Himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I'll see that she gets justice so she won't eventually come and attack me." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for His chosen ones who cry out to Him day and night? Will He keep putting them off? I tell you, He will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth?" So, Jesus tells this story about a widow. And certainly in that time there would have been plenty of widows. And it's always a difficult thing to be a widow. But it was worse back then for several reasons. Women in that day were not educated at all. They didn't go to what we would consider to be grade school. They didn't have jobs. They didn't own property. And so widows very often would become beggars. The widow in Jesus' story has some guy who's harassing her, and her only shot at getting him to stop is by pleading her case to this local judge. Well, Jesus makes it clear in the parable the local judge really doesn't care. He doesn't care that she's been wronged. He doesn't care what she thinks. He doesn't care what anybody in the community thinks about his unwillingness to help her out. He basically laughs in the widow's face. It's like, if you don't have the money to pay me off for the decision you want, then I'm not going to make a decision for you. But the widow does not give up. She keeps pestering the judge day after day after day until finally he just says, "Oh my goodness, I can't take it anymore. I've got to get this lady to leave me alone, so I've got to fix her problem because she is driving me crazy." And so we're told in verse 1 that the point of this story is that we should always pray and not give up. Now, the thing I want to make clear is that Jesus never implies in this story that God is like this judge, because He's not. And in fact, when Jesus interprets the story in verses 7 and 8, He's basically saying, if even an unjust judge responds the right way when someone asks for something, how much more will God, who is just, respond to us? It's kind of a study in contrasts. The judge is really the opposite of what we find in God. But the point is this, that we should always pray and not give up. That's guerrilla. Guerrillas don't win the war in a day. They stay with it, and they know they have to be patient and keep fighting. And with the guerrilla's prayer, we need to be patient and just keep praying it. We should always pray and not give up. Because in this case, the enemy is my own will. Have you ever thought about that? That you have the enemy living within you. Your enemy is your own will. And it's going to keep fighting to create an agenda for life that you feel you want, that I feel I want. And so we can't give up praying this. We need to keep praying, "Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." When you wake up in the morning and start a new day, "Okay, God, this day, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." When your boss is a jerk and you want to tell him so, but you know the right thing to do just now is to go into your office, close the door, and pray for him, you really quickly say to God, Your kingdom come, Your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. When you see a sink full of dirty dishes, and you didn't dirty any of them, and somebody else should be the one to wash them, but you want to be gorilla, you pray again. Your kingdom come, Your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Every day, over and over throughout the day, we pray this prayer. Always, and we don't give up. Because we want to live out God's will, not our own. Because we want to do the will that is good, pleasing, and perfect, not the one that has screwed up our life over and over and over. Because we want God's kingdom to come. We want to bring heaven to earth. We want to be gorilla. So we pray it always and never give up. You know what's a fascinating example of this is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, if you've read through the life of Jesus, you might remember when He was praying there. Or if you saw the movie, The Passion of the Christ, it starts with this scene from Jesus' life. It's just before Jesus will be arrested and only hours before He's going to be crucified. Jesus goes to the garden to pray, and He brings a few of His best friends with Him, and He begs them to pray for Him. So Jesus goes off by Himself, and He prays. And what we see is that Jesus had a will too. Now, this can be a little complex theologically, but Jesus is God, always fully God, but in His time here on earth, He was also human, fully human. And as God, Jesus knew the plan. You know, there wasn't any, oh, God sprung this on Him all of a sudden. Jesus knew the plan. He knew that He had come to the earth to die. He knew that sacrificing His life was the only way everyone could experience real life here and eternal life later. He knew the one right will of God. But He was also human. And as a human, Jesus didn't want the death of a cross. He didn't want to experience that pain. And crucifixion today is still considered to be one of the worst possible deaths a person can die. But aside from that, and that's what we usually think of, is that physical pain of the crucifixion, Jesus didn't want to experience the spiritual torture of having every sin ever committed dumped on Him, and in that moment being completely separate from the Father. His will didn't want to do that. His will had a different agenda. And so what does Jesus do when He discovers those two different wills? He prays. He says, Father, I don't want to do this. Isn't there any other way? But then Jesus continues praying, not my will, but Your will be done. He prayed the gorilla's prayer. The original gorilla lover praying the original gorilla prayer. Not my will, but Yours be done. He prayed that prayer. And He prayed it with persistence. He prayed and prayed for well over an hour, because after an hour He goes back to His friends and sees what's up with them, and then He goes back into the garden and prays some more. So what did all that praying lead to for Jesus? It led to gorilla love. Hours later, Jesus ambushed the world with His love by dying on the cross for us. And I think what we learn is if Jesus hadn't prayed the prayer, it's a good chance He wouldn't have gone to the cross. If Jesus didn't pray this prayer, then His will could have won out over the Father's. So what about you? Is it possible that the reason you haven't been living life as a gorilla lover is because you haven't been praying this prayer? And I'm not assuming none of you are gorilla lovers, but this is a question we each need to ask ourselves. Have I been that person? And if I haven't been, is it because I haven't been praying what I need to pray? Maybe you've been wanting to do what God wants. Maybe you've wanted to not live selfishly. You've wanted to take loving action, but you just haven't had the strength to do the right thing when the opportunity presented itself. Perhaps the reason you haven't is because you don't have the strength to do it. I don't have the strength to do it. None of us have the strength on our own to subdue our personal will and follow God's will. But God does have that strength. And God will give that strength to us. God wants us to be gorilla lovers. He wants us to choose what's right. He would love nothing more than for us to give Him the power to do His will. But we have to ask. God never forces Himself onto us or into our lives. You need to ask. You need to pray this prayer. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You need to always pray it and not give up. Pray it when your eyes open in the morning. Pray it when your feet hit the floor. Pray it when your kids start screaming, when the traffic is awful, when the clerk at the store is a real jerk to you. Pray it when somebody invites you to go out to the strip club. Pray it when you get that rude email and you really want to send a quick response back. Pray it when you see that your neighbor hasn't kept their lawn the way you think they should. Pray it when your spouse is short with you, when you didn't get enough sleep and you're way too tired, when everybody at work is running around all stressed out. You need to be gorilla all the time. But that's not in your will. So you need to trade your will for God's, but you don't have the strength and wisdom to do that. So you need to ask God to do it for you. You need to pray the gorilla prayer always and not give up. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful for this day. Lord, we're thankful that Jesus was willing to give up His own personal will and submit Himself to yours. God, we need your help with that as well, so that each day we can pray for your kingdom to come and for your will to be done. On our own, we can't do it, and we don't do it. But Father, we pray that you would work in our lives to produce a gorilla love that will teach the world around us, just through the act of loving, that you are God and that we need to give you everything that we are, including giving you our will. Father, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would work through this message in each of our lives to bring honor to you and to set us in action. We pray these things in Jesus' name.